Well, tonight I'd like to share a challenge with you from the Sermon on the Mount. And if you have your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. We'll specifically be in Matthew chapter 6 tonight. And I would like to take a portion of Scripture where Jesus is instructing this crowd of people, his longest sermon, and he hits a topic pretty straight about being anxious and worrying, being unnerved, being unduly alarmed. And so listen to this passage of Scripture. If you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter number 6, and we'll drop down to verse number 25. The Bible says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all those things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." And I love that end of that verse. "And all of these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Certainly, let's go back into March the 15th. That was our last Sunday morning service, and then we went several weeks without having services on campus. Our lives were turned upside down. There was turmoil. He talks about turmoil and worrying about food and clothing. Raiment is the word for clothing, worrying about those things. So I would like to just talk about tonight, just a challenge from this passage of Scripture, just three practical thoughts that I can give to you about some of the things that we worry about. I've met very few people that have ultimate confidence and security. Everyone has some type of insecurity, whether it's in a large group of people, whether it's having to stand and either pray in front of someone, read the Bible in front of someone, that they would just rather keel over and die than to do something like that. The thought of doing this tonight, of speaking to you by live stream would be something that would terrify many people. Other times it's perhaps the way we look, and so we don't like to talk to other people. There's a lot of things that we get worried about. Just this past week, one of our church members called me and said, "Pastor, can you pray for me? I just have this a medical situation going on," and he described the condition, and he had a doctor's appointment the next day, and he was anxious about that. He wasn't sure what the doctor was going to say. And of course, we prayed with him over the phone and encouraged him from the Word. But he was anxious. I think everyone has areas of their life where they lack a little confidence. Maybe they're insecure. There's a lot of people who worry. They worry. In fact, worry isn't just an adult issue. Children worry. Students in high school worry. Think about some things jotted down about things that students in high school worry about. They worry about looking good. They worry about others thinking that they look good. They worry about getting kissed. They worry about not getting kissed. They worry about biting someone during a kiss. They worry about their weight, and guys worry about their muscles, and girls worry about their figure, and I'm just saying that the guys worry about not having the ability to grow a mustache or a beard, and girls worry about having a beard. There's a lot of things that high school students worry about. They worry about getting a scholarship, not getting a scholarship. They worry about making the sports team, not making the sports team. They worry about going to the lunchroom and nobody sitting with them. Because they're not the cool kids, or they're not the popular kids. The list could go on and on. And the worry, I would say, is natural, because everyone does it. I believe that we're all wired to worry. But may I say this, even if it is natural to worry, be anxious, be concerned about something, it is not healthy. When we worry, we make our faith appear meaningless. We demonstrate a lack of faith in what God has called us to do, given us the ability to do. We put faith in our own efforts rather than the awesome power that God has made available to us. And we fail to trust Him to do what He wants us to do because we think that our plan of worry, being anxious, being concerned, supersedes God's plan. And it seems that in Jesus' day, there wasn't as much stuff to worry about as there are today. Today, we worry about the ozone layer, pollution, and the nuclear war, and we worry about AIDS, and we worry about the prom, and we worry about protesting, and we worry about the riots that are going on in our country, and we worry about politics, and we worry about entrance exams to get into college, and we worry about our unemployment check, and we worry about, is our employer going to call us back? Are we going to get more hours? And we worry about our bank account. And frankly speaking, today, it seems like there's a lot more to worry about than 2,000 years ago. However, Jesus, in his life, we know this, there was a lot more sick people, and Jesus was forever healing the sick. The blind, those who were deaf, the maimed, those who lived in leper colonies. But he gave some very clear advice here in Matthew chapter 6 about worry. And he talks about how needs are met and how the lilies are cared for and just how awesome and amazing our sovereign God is. I sometimes worry, if I could put it that way, about studying the Bible and being able to adequately describe, explain, disseminate the Word of God. And those are things that I shouldn't even worry about. But how do I break free? How do you break free from being anxious, full of worry, in an ability to control those acids that flow in your stomach because you're always stirred up about something? And given the fact that we all worry in some manner, in actuality, if we're not careful, worry will control us. Instead of breaking free from worry, worry will dictate our decisions. Worry will dictate what I do and how I respond. And so the Bible, fortunately, has some things to say about worry. So let me give you three ways that we can break free from worry. Here's number one. We must put God first in all areas of our life. If I'm going to break free from worry, I need to put God first in every area of my life. I need to shift my focus from my spiritual failures. I need to shift my focus from my frustrations. I need to shift my focus to God from my problems, and whether it comes to friendships, and whether it comes to my family relationships, and it comes to my spouse relationship, it comes to church, it comes to my ministries in church, it comes to training my children or my grandchildren, it comes to going to the grocery store, driving down the road, worry, worry, worry. Instead of always worrying about all those areas of my life, I need to shift that focus, put God first in everything. And it's easy to put God on the back burner by thinking something like this. I don't have time to do my quiet time. I don't have time to go to church. I'm just too busy. I don't even have enough time to fix a good meal. I've got to go through the drive-thru at my local favorite fast food restaurant just to get some food. If that's the case, perhaps you're too busy. Perhaps you need to shed some things. What's happened to me, just sharing, being transparent with you, that over this past couple months, there's so many different social media platforms, some that I don't even know about, and so I definitely am not going to go there to use them. But we have Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat and Marco Polo and email, and the list just goes on of different ways that we... texting, Telegram, I'm trying to think, the different things that we do. And I don't know how a person ever gets anything done if he's on all of those social media platforms. I currently, read through Twitter, occasionally be on Instagram. I don't have a Facebook account that I use. You may even see a Brent Armstrong Facebook account, but it's for the church so that we can live stream to you through Facebook Live. We don't use Facebook. I don't use Marco Polo. I don't use Snapchat. I personally know that I become encumbered, weighted down, if I try to keep up with all the different social media platforms. I also have discovered this over these past 2.5 months in particular. I've never felt encouraged after going through social media because there's so much negativity. The only time I really feel encouraged when I'm on Twitter is on Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening when pastors are posting that they had a great day, someone got saved, and that's very encouraging. But the bitterness and anger and worry and resentment that exists on social media platforms, it's for me, I just can't look at it because it is a discouragement to me. Now, I've never been depressed a day in my life, but I could see how a person who has that bent or has that tendency to become depressed, I could see how if they just look at social media, they would live in a constant state of depression. I received an email on Wednesday of last week from one of our church members, and she just listed everything that's happened since things exploded somewhere around the middle of March with the virus, COVID-19, the riots, the looting, Black Lives Matter, blah, blah, blah. She just went through an entire list, and she just said, I'm so depressed. I'm so discouraged. I don't know what to do. Here's what we have to do. If our eyes are focused on this world, we will be discouraged. We will be depressed. We must put God first in every area of our life. Jesus said here in Matthew chapter 6 that our Heavenly Father knows what we have need of even before we know that we have a need in that area. And it's easy to put God on that back burner if we're not careful. And so I want to challenge you to put God on the front burner. I want to challenge you to put God first. Every day must begin with prayer. It's a spiritual food. It's a spiritual conversation that must take place every day. It's peaceful. I find that talking to my Heavenly Father allows me to have peace. It allows me to have a great start. I have found that bicycling helps me just to be able to set aside all the distractions of the world. I have prayed so much while I've been bicycling for our church members by name, my family by name, situations I'm aware of, and it has, for me, been an amazing opportunity to exercise physically, to rest my brain from all the ministry responsibilities, but just have a conversation with God. Always in that spirit of continual conversation with my Heavenly Father. It has helped me stay level and balanced and not become discouraged. Put God first in everything in your life. And if you're too busy to pray and you're too busy to stay in this book, you're too busy. Something has to go. Something has to be removed because God must be first in our life if I'm going to break free from worry. Here's number two. So number one, I must put God first in every area of my life. Number two, take one day at a time. Take one day at a time. He said twice in this passage of scripture, take no thought for tomorrow. Don't be thinking about tomorrow already. Take care of the things today. When life's hassles seem so huge and you have a tendency to be overwhelmed, stop. Take a deep breath. Think about the promises of God. Talk to Him. Take one day at a time. When I get out of bed tomorrow morning, I want to focus tomorrow morning. I'm going to talk to the Lord about the things that must happen on Monday. And then Tuesday morning when I got out of bed, I want to focus on Tuesday. Now, of course, we plan for the future, but I don't want to live so far in the future that I become discouraged and distraught. Take one day at a time. Don't become overwhelmed. Take one day at a time. Lord, today you're going to be first in my life. And therefore, I'm going to take this day because your word says, take no thought for your life. Take no thought for tomorrow, that you promise in Matthew chapter 6 here to take care of me. He says this, tomorrow will have its own worries. Let tomorrow take care of itself. You'll get there soon enough. Take one day at a time. You need to live one moment at a time. You need to not worry about tomorrow. Because if you worry about tomorrow, here's what happens is you steal blessings from today. So focus on today. Look for the lilies of the field that have been clothed by the sovereign God. Look what He's already done today and enjoy the blessings of today. And there are blessings. There are blessings because I have life. There are blessings because I still have His word. There are blessings because I have a job. There are blessings because I have a family. There are blessings because I'm going to have food to eat. There are blessings because there's a bed to sleep in. There are blessings because I have clothes to wear. There are blessings that abound by the bushel basketfuls. We just have to look for them. What are your blessings tonight? Could you name five blessings right now? What are five blessings in your life? Your spouse, your children, your grandchildren, your job. Let's see, what else? Yes, there are so many blessings. You are seated watching an air conditioning right now. In just a few moments, when this live stream is over, many of you will eat supper. There'll be food to eat. You have a favorite cat or a dog that's sitting in your lap right now that sometimes you think's a nuisance, but actually that dog or cat loves you for some reason. What a blessing. You have blessings in the fact that you have a car that if you needed to run to the hospital or you need to run to the grocery store, there's a vehicle that you can go somewhere. You have Bibles, plural, in your house where there's parts of the world that's never even seen a copy of the Word of God. You, for the most part, across our church, you have health. And the fact that God has granted you health, and if you don't have health, there's a doctor that's been able to help you. And think about this. In Jesus' time, there was no such thing as a knee replacement, a hip replacement. There was no such thing as a heart replacement or cancer surgery. Today, we're able to live longer than in Jesus' time because of the wonderful advancements of medicine. We have a church building. You have a house. You have clean clothes. You have a washer and you have a dryer, and you don't have to wash your clothes by hand down by the riverside as they had to in olden times. We have so many blessings. The problem is we just don't stop long enough to recognize them. Take one day at a time and look for those blessings. Because if you worry about tomorrow and you worry about next week, you rob yourself of today's blessings. Number one, we must every day put God first in every area of our life. Number two, we must take time for today. Focus on today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Number three, we must trust God for everything. We must trust God for everything. I'm going to put Him first in every area of my life. I'm going to take one day at a time. And because I do those two things, the byproduct is I'm going to trust Him to meet my needs. I'm going to trust Him for everything. That's the big, that's the bad, that's the small. Whatever is consuming my thinking and my feelings and my energies, whatever is that I'm worried about, I'm going to give back to Him. I'm going to trust God to come through for me. And He is never bothered by your worries. Think about that. God is never bothered by your worries. So why should I live with my worries and never talk to Him about it? God wants you to talk and speak about your worries. He's interested in your moves. He wants to know what you're thinking. He's a sovereign God that is engaged in the details of your life. And if you will talk with Him and you'll spend time with Him, He's going to show you, He's going to give you answers. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, because He desires to give to you. But the problem is that we worry. We don't put Him first. We're already worried about tomorrow. We're worried about the doctor's appointment on Thursday. We're worried about what's going to happen 2 weeks from now. We're worried whether or not we're going to go on vacation. Rather than, you know what? God, I'm going to put You first. I'm going to take today for today. And therefore, I'm going to trust You. I live in a spirit of communion with my Heavenly Father, that I don't have to suddenly go to the church, get on the altar down in the front of the auditorium, get right with God before He'll hear me. God desires to hear your worries. He's not bothered by it today. Do you know what? In Matthew chapter 6, verse 26, it says this: "Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them." And then He asks a question: "Are you not much better than they? Aren't you better than the fowls or the birds of the air? So don't panic. Pray." And through prayer, you have the opportunity just to download all of your worries and all of your problems to an all-knowing God who's better, smarter, has more wisdom than the smartest computer in all of the world. And obviously we know computers are very powerful, and in just an instant, through a search engine, they can go to some piece of information. But I serve a God that's the one who allowed that computer to even be created. I serve a God that's super smart. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. But I've got to talk to Him. He has the solution for every single one of our needs. He has the solution to our problems. And so erase your worries. Enjoy that peace and that rest that could come from being in His hands. And by the way, if you do this, He promises that in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 7, that there is a peace that's going to surpass your own understanding, your own ability to comprehend what happened. There's a lot of stuff going on in the United States of America. And for most of us, we've never seen anything like this. Other parts of the world have seen anarchy. They've seen rioting and looting and bombing. They've seen riots that would go on for days. So to other parts of the world, what's happening in the United States of America, they've experienced that already. But for almost all of us, this is the first time we've ever experienced. And so therefore, we worry. We worry if that rioting and looting and lawlessness were to come to our town, to our neighborhood, to our house. And what is the solution? I need to trust God, but I need to talk to Him, asking Him to keep that hedge of protection around my family, around my home, around my church, around those that I love. And in doing so, He says this, I'm going to give you a peace. I'm going to give you a comfort that's going to surpass your own ability to understand what happened. He is a God. He is a God that desires to meet every single one of your needs. And so one of those needs that we often have is, what do I do with my worry? And so trust God today. Now, here's what I have to do. Every day, I've got to put God first in my life. And I've got to put God first in every area of my life. Family, work, finances, the list goes on. I've got to take one day at a time. And then I've got to trust God that He has my interests. I've got to trust God that He's going to take care of my needs. But if I don't ever talk to Him, how can I expect Him to take care of me? I want to challenge you tonight. Talk to God. There's not a super spiritual language. It's a conversation. Much like you would have a conversation with a favorite friend of yours, and it's so relaxed, it is so easy. That's the exact kind of conversation I'm talking about having with your Heavenly Father. He's not impressed with flowery speech and flowery language. What He is impressed is that you would take the time to talk to Him. And it's amazing how He can answer prayers in unbelievable ways if you will do that. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. It's been a joy to be with you for a few moments. And I want to challenge you. Excuse me. I swallowed my spit the wrong way. And I need to clear my throat. But I want to challenge you to take these thoughts. Just try them. I have always been accused of being a simple preacher. I consider it a compliment, because if we'll do the simple things, the big things will take care of themselves. Would you take these three simple thoughts tonight, apply them to your life this week, and see what God will do for you? Well, next week, we have a super special weekend plan. We have our music concert plan for Saturday evening at 6 o'clock and Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. We know that there needs to be some healing in our city. And our focus as we look at what's going on around us is that we need to seek God. We need to reach out to our community and invite them to church so that they can see how God can heal our land. But it starts with a healing personally first. And so we want to address that next week. And so I invite you on Saturday evening at 6 o'clock or Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. In particular, would you bring somebody that's looking for healing, looking for answers to questions? The message next weekend will be in three parts. So I'm going to preach point one, point two, and point three with three music packages in between. And it's going to be amazing to see our choir taking up the entire platform. Our orchestra is a part of this. We have divided our choir into two choirs. So half of our choir will be singing Saturday night. The other half of the choir will be singing Sunday morning. And together, it's going to be a spectacular weekend. And certainly we have two different programs. Saturday night's a little bit different than Sunday because of the difference with those who are singing. And so if you want to come to both Saturday and Sunday night, you're welcome. But please do bring a visitor, bring a coworker, a neighbor, someone who's searching and seeking for answers. And I believe they could find that next Sunday. Thank you again for joining us. And let me have a word of prayer with you, and then we will say goodnight. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this opportunity to be with you tonight. Thank you for all of those who have joined us by live stream. Father, thank you for your passage of scripture in Matthew chapter 6, where you were talking to a people that were always in a state of worry, anxiousness. Lord, help us to just obey these three simple principles, that we would put you first. We would take one day at a time. We wouldn't worry about tomorrow, and that we would trust you to meet and supply our needs. Thank you for being a great and awesome Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, amen.